Morning. Thanks for having me back. Anyone into fishing here? No? One. Okay, good on you. I remember years ago, and this was when James, this is Philip and Irene's son, when he was in university, he was addicted to fishing, and he would actually have a fishing rod in his car, and he would just drive, and all of a sudden, if he sees water, as long as it's not someone else's swimming pool, he would just cast a line. And so we have one fisher person here. I'm not sure whether you're familiar with ice fishing, where people would actually carve a hole in the ice and drop a line and hopefully hope to catch a fish. So there's a story about this guy who was, you know, digging a hole in the ice and dropping a line and was hoping to catch fish. Nothing came up. And he heard a voice that said, "There is no fish down there." And he was like, "Oh, must be God telling me where the fish are." So he said, okay. He packed up and he moved to another spot and he started drilling a hole and he dropped a line and he waited. And then the voice came again, "There is no fish down there." So he said, oh, okay. He packed up and he moved to another spot, carved out another hole, dropped a line, and then he waited. Still no fish. And at this point, he just yelled out, "God, if that's you, can you tell me where the fish are?" And then the voice came back and said, "Look, I'm not God. I'm the manager of an ice skating rink. Stop digging into my rink." The voice of God. Some of us believe that God speaks audibly, and it is recorded in Scripture. But whether the occurrence is common in today, it's my understanding it does happen, but it's rare. But we might hear God speaking to us, which is the most common way, through Scripture. It could be through a fellow Christian, circumstances, through a prophetic word, dreams, visions, people who live in countries, you know, in strict Islamic states where the gospel can't be preached, they actually getting a revelation of Jesus in dreams and visions, and then they're coming to Christ because of that. And I heard recently, and I need to verify that, even in North Korea, the church is growing exponentially. And some of these North Koreans are hearing the voice of God through dreams and visions. There was this lady who left North Korea and she was in her 90s. And then when she became a Christian, she was going to return to North Korea. And someone said to her, "Why are you doing it? You're 90. Why are you going back to North Korea?" And she said, "Well, I spent 90 years laying down my life for Kim. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to lay my life down for the Lord." So the voice of God actually, you know, brings about change. Today I'm going to speak about the calling to intimacy. And the passage that we're going to look at is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. So if you can turn to the scriptures, either electronically or physically, to 1 Samuel, and we're reading from chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Whoa, okay. First Samuel 3, verse 1. "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Verse 2. "One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. In verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. The title of my sermon is The Call to Intimacy. And it's broken up into three parts. The first part being the call, followed by listening, and finally, coming near. The call, listening, and coming near. I don't know about you, but when I first read this account, I found it quite amusing that Samuel was so patient. You know, he kept hearing his name, being woken up in the middle of the night, and then running to Eli. If I was Samuel, after the first two times, I'm like, oh, can you quit calling me? You know, is this a joke? But Samuel just responded to the voice of God, not knowing that it was God. God called Samuel by name, and that speaks of intimacy. God's on a first name basis, and he doesn't call us, hey, you know, please come, but he calls us by name. I know for some parents, you call your kids when they're in trouble by their full name, middle names included, obviously. But I find that as couples get older, they start calling each other like, hey, you, or there, or, you know, as opposed to by name. But God calls Samuel by name. God is calling Samuel to himself. In verse 7, it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word for know was not just a head knowledge, but an intimate knowledge, as similar to the Greek word for know, where it's about a spouse knowing a spouse, suggests intimacy, not just as an acquaintance, but someone that is closer than a brother or a friend. So when God was calling Samuel, it wasn't a call to service per se, but a call to relationship. And if you look at Mark chapter 3, verse 14, when Jesus first appointed his 12 disciples, it says that Jesus calls his disciples to be with him and then to preach the good news, to drive out demons, so and so forth. So when God calls us, he's not calling us to a church, to attend church, to be part of an organization. When he first calls us, he's not calling us to do something or to serve him or to be part of a ministry, but he's calling us to a relationship. He's calling us to him, to intimacy. And when Jesus appointed his disciples to be with him, the Greek word with meta was also used in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, when Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. So it suggests that union, that intimacy, just coming together. The Father is calling his children to him. And I just want to thank Brother Albert for reading out Psalm 27. It's so apt that it talks about just waiting in the presence of God. And the songs that we were singing speaks of just being with the Father in intimacy. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So whatever we do in life, our service to God is a fruit is a product of our relationship with Him. We are first called to be with Him. We are human beings, not human doings. So have you heard His voice speaking to you recently? May not be an audible voice, like I said. Could be a verse in the Bible, an encouraging word, a phone call, or whatever circumstance you're going through. A stirring in your heart. That could be God speaking to you. A dream, a vision, a prophetic word. For Samuel, it was the first time he heard the call to intimacy. Today may be yours. Just like Samuel, he was in the temple with the presence of God, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, yet he didn't know God. You might be here, sitting in church, in the presence of God, but you may not know Him. You may not have a relationship. Maybe this is your first time that you're hearing God speaking to you. Or you may have been coming and you haven't heard God in a while. Maybe God is stirring your heart. And sometimes we wonder, how do we know it's God's voice and not our own head? Or even the devil? Jack Deere once said that we have more faith in the devil to mislead us than for God to lead us. God's voice will not contradict His word. It will not contradict His written word. That's why we read the Bible, so that we know and we can ascertain and determine whether it's God speaking to us. And God's voice, if it be a prophetic word, will testify to the living word. In Revelation 19:10 says the spirit of prophecy bears testimony to Jesus. So if you have been given a prophetic word, a dream or a vision, and it doesn't lead you to Christ, then that's something that you need to relook at it. Secondly, listening. Verse 10, Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant is listening." How do servants listen? I know that being a servant is countercultural in today's society because of the historical and cultural baggage. But Samuel is not asking us to, or he's not been asked to respond to an abusive taskmaster, but to a loving God. So when we hear the voice of God, when we hear God speaking to us, calling us, how should we respond? What does it mean to respond like a servant? Firstly, it means to listen with a predisposition to obey. Well, obviously, He is God and we are not. So that's, we have to recognize that. So when God calls, we obey. You can't sugarcoat it. It's a bit like cats and dogs. Any cat lovers here? Okay, a few. Dog lovers? Seem to be more dog lovers than cat lovers. Okay. So if you, you know, I've got a dog, you know, Toby Labradoodle, 8 years old, but a mind of a puppy, wants to play with everyone and everything. And if I were to feed Toby, take him for walks, pick up his poop, give him a bath, he would look at me and like, oh, Tim's God. Well, if I have a cat, I would imagine if I were to feed the cat, you know, give the cat treats, set up like an obstacle course for the cat. The cat might think, I'm God. What they call cat and dog theology. I'm not sure whether that's true. I read that, but look, I'm not a cat lover, so I wouldn't know. People who have cats would know. But when it comes to God, and then when He calls, we obey. But it's not, like I said, We struggle with obedience because we don't know where God's coming from. If we see Him as an abusive taskmaster, then we lose the plot. If we see the cross as cosmic child abuse, where the Father says, oh no, Son, you've drawn the short straw, you're going down. But if we look at the Trinity as a whole, Father, Son, and Spirit, then we see God in Christ on the cross. Then we wouldn't see God as in someone that's an abusive taskmaster, but that someone who would go the distance for us to the point of shedding His blood. Secondly, listen with humility. When God speaks to us and calls us, is an act of grace. We don't deserve to hear God speak to us. It's all grace. I was told that whenever you approach royalty, you only speak when you're spoken to. So if King Charles now, you know, pays a visit, he's in Perth, and you're there and say, "Hey, Chuck," you know, that's not going to cut it. You can't speak to royalty. You only speak when you're spoken to. That's the protocol. And what more with God? Now, why do I think that, you know, God speaking to us is an act of grace? In verse 7, it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, the Hebrew word for reveal is also uncover. So, meaning that the word was hidden and then it was uncovered. So, Samuel couldn't have heard God if God hadn't revealed himself to him. Likewise, if God hadn't spoken to us or we haven't heard God calling us, we'd be lost. We don't find Christ, he finds us. We are the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son in Luke 10. The fact that we're here at church, the fact that we are Christians, is an act of grace. We are found by God. Matthew 11, verse 25 to 27. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So when God speaks to us, he's reaching out in grace. Only God can reveal God. We don't find him. He's found by us. And that's why we should be thankful. When the fact that we're Christians, we should be thankful that he's chosen to call us, to draw us to him. And lastly, coming near. Verse 10, when we were looking at the 10 verses, there were three times the Lord called Samuel. Samuel. He just called Samuel by name. And then it was only at the fourth time it says that the Lord came. The Lord came. So he came for Samuel. He not only called Samuel, but he came. Talks about that physical, that tangible proximity. So God's not calling us via email or text messaging. He's coming in person. It was said that nowadays, because of the, I don't know which generation we're now in, but you find that young people, not myself now, are more inclined to actually send a text than to call. And I remember, you know, I was in a ute with my daughter, and she's 14, and it was a manual ute. And she looked at me, and she looked at that, and she said, "What is that?" I said, "It's a gear, you know, it's a stick shift." "What is that?" Things like that. Show them a picture of a telephone. "What is that?" You know, public phones. "What is that?" And not having a go at technology. Technologies are meant to be tools, not masters. And that's how we use them, not be enslaved by them or be used by them. But God came, that tangible presence to Samuel. But he not only came for Samuel, he came for us. You go back to verse 1 of chapter 3, it says the word of God, you know, and visions were rare. Now, the book of Samuel was written in a very dark period of the Old Testament. So where people were living, you know, it was the time of the judges where the people of God were disobedient. And hence the word of God was rare. And you fast forward that couple of centuries later, you have the birth of Christ. And during that time, it was alleged that there were 400 years of silence. And then God spoke. He spoke the word Jesus. So just like the early days of Samuel, prior to the birth of Christ, there were centuries where the word of God was rare. Then came Jesus. God came for Samuel, and we know God came for us because of Christmas, because of incarnation. Jesus is God with skin on, that tangible presence, someone that we can touch if we were living in first century Palestine. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So another word for dwelling is tabernacle. Samuel slept next to the tabernacle, but he didn't know God. Now we have Jesus, who became flesh and made the tabernacle his dwelling among us. The voice of God took on flesh. The Word of God became the living Word. And the beauty of it is that Jesus is the last word. When I was preaching this last week at my church, I told a story of how when I have disagreements with my wife, and I always wanted to get the last word in, because it feels like you've won the argument when you've got the last word in. But my wife would always have a counter. So there's one time I realized the only way I can get the last word in is I actually leave the house before I give the last word. So sometimes we might have a disagreement. We go to bed, you know, and then the next morning I get up, and before I leave for work, you know, I said, "Bye, dear, I got to go to work." Oh, regarding last night, and I'll leave the last word, and I'll leave the door. And then, you know, I'll be like happy, and then 8 hours later, I come through the front door, I'm like, oh no, I have to face my wife. Not that it's, you know, horrible, but I mean, it's a joy. It's like, I love you, but, you know. But the beauty is that God came and he spoke the last word. And the last word is Jesus. And I'll read out this chorus from Michael Card. It's called The Final Word. And it talks about Jesus. He says, "You and me, we use so very many clumsy words. The noise of what we've often say is not worth being heard. When the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate his love, he spoke it in one final perfect word. He spoke the incarnation, and then so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so he could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine." So God came as Jesus, and that's the last word. And all goes back. How do you know that God is calling you? How do you know that's the voice of God? If it speaks Jesus, if it speaks God coming near. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. That's the call to intimacy. And lastly, in verse 10, I like this bit. It says, let me just go back. In verse 10, it says, "The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.'" Not only did the Lord came for Samuel and for us, but he stood there. And when I looked at the word "stood" in the Hebrew, it wasn't just a physical standing, but it was also taking a stand, making a stand. So when the Lord stood there, he took a stand, and that stands the cross. He took a stand. God in Christ took a stand when Jesus hung on the cross for you and me. That's how desperate he desires intimacy with us, that he gave his life for us. That's why when we say, "Speak, for your servant is listening," we know it is not an abusive taskmaster. In fact, the God of heaven became a servant so that we can become friends of God. In John 15 says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And more than friends, we're co-heirs, children. And going on to John 15:9, I like this verse where it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. That's so powerful. If you think about it, as God the Father has loved God the Son, so have I loved you. So the same love that God the Father has for Jesus is the same love that Jesus has for us. And he's asking us, remain in my love. Remain in that love. Abide in that love. Be united. Be intimate. What do we have to lose? We sang a song, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died and rose again. If we truly believe in the death and resurrection of Christ, then we truly believe that God is intimate and he's pursuing us. We know that he's pursuing us. The fact that we are hearing him and we are here today, that is an act of grace. So I don't know where you're at in your life and what God is calling you to do. Maybe you're not a Christian. There was a survey done in an American university where people were asked for their views of the church, and most of them gave negative views of the church and Christianity. But they approached the same group of people and asked them for their views on Christ, on Jesus. Totally different. Positive. Where have we gone wrong? But the Lord is calling you today. He is standing here. He is in our midst. And that I believe is so prophetic, that he is in our midst. He's stirring hearts. And he's speaking to you. Let's close in prayer. Can I just invite the musicians up? Can I just invite you to stand, and we'll sing that song, You Are Here Among Us. We'll just sing it once through, and then we'll pray, and then we'll give time for God to speak to our hearts.